Amazing grace today. Amen. Come on now. It's more amazing than a football, ain't it? Say, here go the preacher meddling again. No, I'm just excited about his love and his grace and his mercy. And his... Amen. He did it for me. Amen. He didn't exclude anybody. He didn't say, well, you can have my grace and you can't have my grace. And no, he said, whosoever will may come. And this morning, I am just thankful for the grace of God, amen, and his mercy and his love and his care. Appreciate you being here today. Again, as Brother Alex mentioned, we have several here that have not been well. They're here this morning. And we thank God for that. Thank God that you all here. Amen. We do need to pray for Miss McIntosh. I know she's not here today. Miss Francis is here today as well. And thank the Lord for that. Just appreciate what the Lord is doing. And if you would be turning to the book of John this morning. I'm going to start out in John chapter 14, John chapter 14, as Brother Alex mentioned, next Sunday evening we will be having our first quarterly meeting of the year, that meeting being the elections of the officers. So I would appreciate every member of the church to be here for that meeting. I believe it's a way, number one, you can show your children that it is a priority, amen? We need to be involved in the church, and I believe the Lord's doing some things. We're going to be giving some updates on just where we're headed. I know we've kind of been talking about some things, but believe we have some clear vision from the Lord, and we're going to be putting some feet to some things, amen? And you be here. If you don't normally come on Sunday evening for whatever reason, if you can't be here, I understand, but I just would like for you to be here if you are a member. Some important things we'll be discussing. All right, go to John chapter 14, just trying to follow his leading this morning. And John chapter 14. This, of course, is when the Lord is getting ready to leave his disciples. I'm not going to talk a whole lot about it, but I couldn't imagine if Jesus had been physically with me, and then he told me, by the way, I'm leaving. That would have been very hard. I mean, I can't even imagine what that might have felt like to the disciples. And so understanding where we're at here, and what the Lord is telling them. In verse number 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. He's like, Thomas is like, how do you know that? He said, I am the way, Thomas. You're looking at the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. You got one that's questioning, well, how are we going to know if you're not here to show us? And then you got the other one saying, well, Lord, give me a sign. Philip said, show me something. Show us the Father, and then I'll be okay. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? If you want a good lesson on the Trinity, this is a very good lesson from Jesus himself. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Let's pray. Father, we ask you for your help this morning. Father, I ask that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, we need you this morning. We need to hear from you this morning. Lord, we're lifting your name on high. We thank you for all that you have done for us in our lives today. We could sit around and talk today just of the goodness of God. What a blessing you have been to us. Lord, so many things that you've answered already. So many people sitting here this morning because of answered prayer. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. I thank you for the health and strength to stand and proclaim your word. I thank you for these people that have come. We've come to worship you. God, we've come to hear from you, and my prayer is that you would just take me as a vessel and just pour me out this morning so that your people may know you more and more clearly, and that those that don't know you would want to know you. Lord, I love you and I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace. Help us today. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. The thought that's on my heart this morning, beginning here in John chapter 14, just having the understanding by way of introduction that Jesus cared about his disciples. Jesus, when he was going to leave them, we see that he encourages them not to be troubled, not to be in sorrow because he was leaving. He was trying to show them how it was expedient for him. It was good for them. It was for the best for all of them that he go away. They at the time didn't understand. They were troubled. I'm not making fun of Philip and Thomas. It's just that's the tendency of our nature is we always, when something doesn't go as we would plan it to go. You know, I can imagine these disciples were hoping that all of their life Jesus would be physically there with them. And yet now things are changing. After 3 short years of ministry with them, now he's telling them, I am going away. I'm going to my Father. Thomas didn't understand that. Lord, where are you going? What are you talking about? And Jesus cared about them. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He begins to tell them, I'm going to prepare you a place. Amen? We could talk about that this morning and how the master carpenter is going to prepare you a place. And they use gold for the streets up there, so I don't know what the house is going to look like. Amen? He's going to prepare me a place because he wants me to be with him. That's his desire. Is that not what he said? And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Verse number 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It's his desire that we be with him. But what we must understand, it's not just his desire when he returns for us to be with him, but he said, I'm going to pray the Father that he will send you another comforter. I'm going to pray that the Father would send the Spirit of God, because up until this point, yes, the Spirit of God was there. We see the Spirit of God in the second verse of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse number 2. The Bible says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It wasn't that the Spirit of God was just coming to pass when Jesus said he's going to send him to you. No, Jesus was saying, I'm going to ask the Father, because I am now leaving you. See, in the Old Testament, they had God's presence, the pillar of a cloud, pillar of the fire, and it resided over the mercy seat. The Bible said there was that presence there that they knew when they could, the way they camped in their tents, they would camp all around the tabernacle. That way, if anybody was a little nervous about something or the enemies that were coming after them, they could open up the tent and they would see a pillar of fire or a pillar of cloud residing over the tabernacle. That gave them peace in their heart that God is still with us. That's why when the Ark of the Covenant was gone from the camp of the Israelites, they couldn't look out and see anything because he was not there. So what Jesus was doing for the disciples here in the New Testament is he said, hey, you're going to look out very soon and I am not going to be here. Y'all getting this? He said, I'm not going to be here anymore. I am the physical representation of God here on this earth in this point of time. But I'm leaving. But he said, I'm going to talk to the Father. And I'm going to ask him that he would send you another comforter. I'm going to ask him to send you. Because see, Jesus' ministry was limited in the flesh because he could only be at one place at one time. He was God, but he was limited in the flesh because his presence was limited. But he told the disciples, the Spirit of God, I'm going to ask him to send him to you. Now, the thing that was expedient about that is we would not enjoy the presence of God today if Jesus had not gone away and allowed the Spirit of God to indwell anyone who believed in Jesus. You would have to travel to Jerusalem if Jesus was still in physical form to experience the presence and power of God. Do you realize that? Some of y'all look at me like, where is he at this morning? Well, I'm trying to get you to understand, why is the Spirit of God so important to me?
That is the only way I can experience the power of God in my life. Now, by way of introduction, again, I don't get ahead of myself here, but he said, I'm going to send him to comfort you. And this morning, I would like to say, as Jesus said, as he stood, I believe it's John chapter number 4. Excuse me, that's another passage I want to read here in a minute. Turn to Luke. Luke chapter 4. This is right after he was tempted in the wilderness. In verse number 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. So you got to see this and understand, after he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, the Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. Remember, physically, 40 days and 40 nights he had fasted. He had not had anything to eat. Physically, he was weak. So the Bible tells us he was empowered by the Spirit. He came back. He was teaching. He was preaching. Verse 16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for it to read. Now, I believe we saw him in the synagogue when he was 12 years old asking questions, right? You remember that when his family left him behind? And Mary's like, where'd Jesus go? You imagine how she felt? Lord, I don't know what happened. I'm so sorry. I should have been a better mama. You can smile, some of you. It might crack your face, but it'll be okay. Jesus, from 12 years old, was in the synagogue. And it says, as his custom was. Okay, is that what your Bible says? He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. It was his custom to go into the synagogue and to read Scripture. And this certain time, it wasn't the fact of him doing this, because the Bible says it was his custom. So the people, when Jesus came in that morning and he's got the Word of God and he stood up to read, that was not anything out of the ordinary. This is what was out of the ordinary. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. Because you got to remember, back then, the Old Testament wasn't compiled in a very small package like we have it today. They had it in scrolls. So the minister said, okay, Jesus, today you're going to read from the book of Isaiah. So he grabs Isaiah and he rolls it out. Amen? Or rolls it out, whichever way. And Jesus read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, in verse number 18 of John or Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The first thing I want you to see this morning, and again, this is just introduction, I want you to see that Jesus Christ Himself let us know, and He let them know, that it was the Spirit of the Lord that was upon Him, giving Him instruction. The Bible said, He hath anointed me. That gave Him the power. And then it said, to preach the gospel. And He told Him who to preach it to. The poor. Not just poor in finances, but poor in spirit.
Amen. Those who didn't think much of themselves and realize they were sinners, those are the ones that need to hear the gospel. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He said that himself.
So the Spirit of God gave him the power, but it also gave him his direction for his ministry. This is Jesus Christ himself speaking to us out of a human body. And look at what the Spirit told him to do. The first thing he said was to preach the gospel. The first thing the Spirit anointed Jesus and gave him the power to do was to preach the gospel to the poor. And then he said, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering sight to the blind, and set at liberty them who are bruised. This morning, what I would like to tell you is not the fact that you know, so many people think that if they are broken or they are captive to something or there's something going on in your life that you're struggling with, you're bound and you're just fighting the things of this world. Do not think for a moment that you are not welcome in the presence of Jesus, because His whole ministry is to help you. And the whole attitude sometimes of people today is to think that, well, I can't get around church or I can't get around people because I got problems. Let me tell you something. The whole ministry is about, first of all, preaching to lost souls. Secondly, delivering people from the bonds of sin. Those who are captive. That's direction from the Spirit of God upon Jesus Christ Himself. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say by introduction this morning is if we are to be the body of Christ, if we that are saved are to be the body of Christ, our first direction, our first priority ought to be to preach the gospel to the poor. And may I ask you today, when's the last time we've done that? When's the last time you shared the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody who was lost? The next thing, and we could go on down through here, and this is not the entire message, but I think it's something we all need to chew on. Amen? Preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I don't know. The Lord's kind of directing me to just park here for a minute. Now, I want you to notice the personal application that Jesus makes when He says, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now, if you believe Scripture and you believe the verses we just read over in John chapter 14, what did Jesus tell His disciples about the things that they would do? He said, you're going to be doing what I was doing. And yet you're going to be doing more than I was able to do because I'm going to my Father. You remember that passage? Do we need to read it again? No? Okay. So if Jesus said we would be doing what He was sent to do, He's telling us here what He was sent to do. The second thing is that He was to heal the brokenhearted. See, I've been doing a lot of study about prayer, okay? Just so you, in my own personal walk, I want to get as close to Him as I possibly can, and I want to understand. But you know what? The more I'm digging into this, a lot of things and a lot of prayers are already answered for us in His truth. Sometimes we do a lot of praying about something and He is saying, that's your ministry to do it. Go heal the brokenhearted. You might get down on your knees, and I'm not against praying for somebody that might be broken and something might have happened to them, but don't pray and ask God to help them if you're not willing to let the Spirit of God anoint you and help you to be a part of that ministry. So in other words, do not pray that God would bless somebody if you're not willing to bless them yourself. Do not pray that God would comfort somebody and put His arms around them if you are not willing to do it yourself. He said, He has sent me You got that? He has sent me. Jesus took that personal. Jesus is in flesh. Amen? He came down in this world. So you got to understand something. The Bible tells us Jesus told the woman at the well, He said, you know, you worship what you know not of. You don't even understand what you're worshiping. They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth, because God is a spirit. See, the whole reason God chose Jesus to come into this world, because He had to choose the form of flesh to enter into this world. Otherwise, we'd never see Him. Because God is a spirit. Okay? What Jesus was saying as the man Jesus was that the Spirit of God gave me the power and gave me the position and gave me this task, and that is to heal the brokenhearted. He took it personal. So a lot of times when we get down to pray, see, this is where when Jesus told him in John chapter 14, Brother Alex, He said, whatever you ask of me, I'll do it. Now, if your prayer changes and you say, okay, Lord, I know so-and-so is going through a very hard time. And Lord, I know that I can't touch the feeling of their infirmity. I can't help them myself in my human side. But what I'm asking you to do for me is to help me heal their broken heart. Because how does God help us in the day in which we live? You look all throughout Scripture and He says, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give into your bosom? It didn't say it would just fall out of heaven. No, He said, I'm going to use men. I'm going to use men. So what we got to get back to understanding is the importance of understanding that the Spirit of God gives me the power to do the ministry that I am sent to do and the ministry that God has called us all to do. And so when we're praying, and I hope nobody gets me wrong this morning, yes, you need to pray for people, but do not exempt yourself from being a part of that answer. Lord, so-and-so needs to be saved, but have you ever, ever, ever stopped and taken the time to go knock on their door and say, hey, I love you, and I don't want you to die and go to hell? Right. The more I dig into prayer, the Lord is just saying, you know what? Don't pray for that person until you're willing to be a part of the plan. Jesus said, He anointed me. He gave me the power. Now, to some people, talking about the Spirit of God is a little nerve-wracking because we've let other people take and they worship just the Spirit. The Spirit's not to be exalted. The Spirit always points to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ points to the Father. I'm not exalting the Spirit. But I'm telling you, we have set the Spirit aside a lot because we don't want to get into all this little stuff. Let me tell you something. We cannot do the ministry He sent us to do without the direction and the power of the Spirit of God. I'm to heal the brokenhearted. But am I willing to be a part of that ministry? Am I willing, instead of just praying and asking God, oh Lord, touch them, help them. Wait a minute, back up. No. The prayer is, Lord, I'm asking you to help me to help him. He said to preach deliverance to the captives. I'm not even going to get to the message. We'll hold on to that part for a little while later. He said, preach deliverance to the captives. Anybody who was bound by, okay, He said, preach the gospel to the poor. Now He's talking about preaching deliverance to the captives. There are people that are lost that are captive, and there are people that are saved that are captive. Amen? Our ministry is to preach deliverance to them, not judgment.
Now, I'm not against telling people the truth in love and helping them in love, but never go that route until you are willing to say, here, you can be delivered, you can be helped, it is possible, amen? Amen, Brother Davey? Hallelujah. We can be delivered from the power of Satan. We can be bound. He can bind us all he wants to, but Jesus can break those chains. So we need to preach that. We need to preach deliverance to them. We need to say, hey, there's a path out of this. There's a way that you can get out of this captivity. So as you that are in captivity, a lot of times when sin binds you and you get into that place, you get to a point where you don't want to talk to anybody about it. You feel horrible about yourself and the devil just keeps beating you down and down and down and down and down and down and down. And he says to you, you ain't worth even going around the house of God. You ain't worth this. And that's the way the devil works. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, I'm here to preach deliverance to you. Amen. Anybody here have been freed from the bonds of sin? Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, you felt that freedom. We need to be sharing that with other people. We should never be on the other end of a gun shooting at somebody because they were overcome by something. He said, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. You see anybody shooting another brother because he fell, they're not spiritual, and you better watch out for them. They're carnal. You see somebody fall, buddy, you ought to be the first one. Be a first responder. Amen? Ye which are spiritual, restore. We need to preach deliverance. Amen? Preach it. He said, recovering of sight to the blind. You say, well, I could never restore. Wait. There is much more blindness in this world today than physical blindness. Just helping somebody see the truth. You have helped somebody receive their sight. You say, well, I could never touch the blinded eyes. Oh, yes, you can. You can take the light of the gospel. Amen. That shines into the heart of darkness, even in a little child, as you stand and you teach every Sunday. And you might think, well, I ain't really doing nothing. I ain't really helping anybody. Let me tell you something, every Sunday, you're affecting, you're touching their eyes. You're touching it in there. It's like, all of a sudden, that light comes on. Amen? Y'all parents, you know about it. When those little kids run into your bedroom, Mommy, 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 I'm going to die and go to hell if I don't get saved. What happened? Their eyes were opened. They just received sight. Amen. When people receive the light of the gospel and they receive their sight, that's when I've seen people run down the aisle to get saved because their eyes are finally open to the truth. To set at liberty them that are bruised. I believe this would take on many applications, but I believe there's a lot of people, when you're bruised, it means you've been hit, or you've fallen, or you've took a blow. This could speak of abuse of any kind. This could speak of, and I'm not talking about just abuse at home. I'm talking about you can take abuse in the house of God, verbal. Just the way somebody treats you and just the way, just that bruising, just that. And he said he was going to give them. What word did he use there? Liberty them that are bruised. There's a lot of people. This is just the way that I have looked at this and kind of gotten some help. There are some people. There's a lot of people that allow how other people feel about them to rule their life. Well, so-and-so said this, and so-and-so did that, and so-and-so. And man, they're beaten up and bruised with all the effects of man. And he said, you know what? I'm going to give you some liberty. I'm just going to use brother, can I use an example? Brother Andrew. See, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? There's things we've all done. And you know, a lot of people are affected by, let's just say before you got saved, you were just a lousy drunk. I mean, you just beating on people, beating your kids, beating your wife. But by His glorious grace, He saved you and changed you. But there's a lot of people that step back at work and, man, just on a daily basis, who do you think you are? You know, the man that did this, man that did that. Just how people talk and how people, just that continual every day. Young people, you deal with it at school. They call it bullying today. Somebody just continually, and you allow that to control the way you think about yourself. Well, so-and-so said I'm ugly. No, you know what? Tell them, God made me exactly the way He wanted me to be. Amen? God made me. If you think I'm ugly, that's your opinion. Don't bother me. What does that do? That sets at liberty. When you look at yourself through the eyes of God and through the eyes of His mercy and through the eyes of His grace, that is the only way you will get liberty and freedom from this world, from that oppression. Amen? Anybody here ever been delivered, been liberated from that? You can help other people with that. You can help young people with that. Well, my dad always told me I was worthless. Wait a minute. Hold on. In the eyes of God, what are you? Amen? Somebody might have told you all your life that you weren't worth two nickels. Jesus went to the cross for you. He made you a child of God, and He said, you're a joint heir with me. Everything that I possess is yours. See, that's the problem today. The devil wants you to see yourself through the eyes of other people and through the eyes. He wants to discourage you and bring you down and say, you're not worth anything. Let me tell you something. Jesus said that He loved us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He says if He would give His Son for you, is there anything else He wouldn't give you? You're worth something to Him. Amen. If you're here this morning and maybe you just needed to hear that Jesus loves you. Jesus thinks you're exactly what God created. You're exactly the person God made you to be. And you need to be at liberty. Seeing yourself through His eyes. If you have gotten saved from a life of sin, don't let that sin drag you down. Don't feel bad about that. If you've even after you've been saved, done something, if you've confessed it and forsaken it, you know what He said? You shall have mercy. Hey, man, don't beat yourself up. Amen. This morning, we need to understand that we will only do what God would have us to do if we allow the Spirit of God to work through us. I'm going to read one other passage here. Turn with me to the book of Galatians. Everybody still with me this morning? Amen. So I want you to see something. Galatians chapter number 5. Now, Paul was preaching to them. If you were to look back in chapter 3, you can see that these people were confused and these people were having trouble with the Spirit of God and still struggling with the law of God. And, and just back and forth. And Paul's trying to help them with that. Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't fulfill it. It doesn't say you won't struggle with it, but it will not come to pass. Is that the same thing your Bible says? You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're going to struggle with the lust of the flesh because you live in a human body. But if you walk in the Spirit, that's never going to come to fruition. It's the Bible. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other. Let me just say this right here. This next phrase. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. You know what keeps you from doing what God wants you to do? Is this old flesh. Yeah. Amen. It's this old flesh. But Paul's going to help them. He's saying, yeah, you're going to struggle with it. It's back and forth, man. It's a daily thing where your flesh don't want to get up but your spirit wants to get up and get in the Word and get some prayer time with the Lord and just that communion and fellowship, and your flesh is saying, oh, I just need 15 more minutes. Oh, I had a rough night. It's warring against each other. We're going to deal with that every day. Amen? Driving home from work, you've had a bad day. Lord, I don't want to be positive when I get home and show love to everybody when I get home. I have had such a terrible day. My flesh just does not feel like being the leader of this home tonight. Y'all with me? I'm just trying to be real with you. Ladies, you might have your kids, you might be pulling your hair out. You're thinking, Lord, when he gets home, ooh. It's that fleshly warring with the Spirit. Yes, you have desires of the Spirit to do right, and the flesh is pulling and tugging. But he said, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It doesn't say you won't have problems with it, but it says you won't fulfill it. That's why he said to be filled with the Spirit. Allow your spirit to be stronger than the flesh. It's a tug of war every day. Look at this. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. What he was telling them that, you know, they were struggling with all this. The Jews still wanted to bring the law into this. And the you know, some of these were saying, no, it's not about the law. You know, there's nothing wrong with the law, number one. Jesus came to fulfill the law. He didn't come to destroy the law. So what I've always found, Brother Alex, if you don't understand something about a decision to make, there's nothing wrong with going back to the law and saying, okay, what did he outline in the Old Testament? Because that might kind of shine forth into, because everything he said in the New Testament exceeded everything he said in the Old Testament. Are you with me? When he had the Sermon on the Mount there, he was telling them, yeah, this is what the law said, but this is what I say. And it was always above what he said in the past. So what's wrong with going back? You're not living under it, but you're using it as a schoolmaster. Amen. You've got to understand the law is not, some people even today, well, I'm not under the law, like it's a bad thing. No, it's not a bad thing. If you have questions, go back to it and look at it. I mean, when is lying ever going to be good? Thou shalt bear false witness. You're not going to bear false witness. That's never going to. No, the law, he came to fulfill it. But he's trying to tell them, if you're walking after the Spirit, you don't have to look back at the law. Are you with me? Let me show you why. All right. Verse number 19 through verse number 21, he gives them, these are the works of the flesh. He said, if you're living after the flesh, read some of these words, it's going to be present in your life. Okay? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such alike. Doesn't that sound like the 12 o'clock or the 11 o'clock news? Our country, our world. It's just amazing. But he said, if you're living after the flesh, these are the works of the flesh. Look at verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. What Paul was saying is, if you're walking after the Spirit, love is going to be present. Right? Love is a fruit of what? The Spirit. What I'm trying to show you is, if you're walking in the Spirit, love is going to be the first thing that shows up in your life. And then it follows with all these other things. So my question to you, if you have a problem with any of these fruits of the Spirit, if you are struggling with any of these fruits of the Spirit, number one, I would go back and say, am I really walking in the Spirit, or am I walking after this old flesh? Do I have a problem loving, number one, my wife, my kids, my family? Do I have a problem with love? Joy, any of those. If you have a problem with any of those, that means you are not walking in the Spirit of God. That's what Paul was telling the Galatians. He said, if you are Christ, in verse 24, you have crucified the flesh. You will understand that this whole flesh, if you don't get up every day and nail it, and tell it, you can't have your way. You got to nail it down. The message today, as Jesus came and told us, in order to do the work of His Father, the Spirit of God gave Him the power and gave Him the direction. If we are going to do the ministry that God has showed us is ours to do, first of all, we need the power of the Spirit of God. We cannot fulfill the work of God in our flesh. It'll never happen. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Don't let that scare you. Amen? Spirit's not a scary thing. It's something that I can... I'm trying to get done, I promise. The Spirit of God is not a scary thing. The Spirit of God... It's like stepping in and you're being just indwelt with the presence of God and having His leadership. The Bible said the Spirit of God leads you into all truth. That's why people struggle with the truth today, is because they're not living in the Spirit of God. We need to get back to where we're asking, Lord, fill me with the Spirit of God. You know how you've got to be filled with the Spirit of God? First of all, you've got to be empty of yourself. We need to be preaching the gospel. We need to be healing the brokenhearted. We need to speak deliverance to those that are captive. We need to be helping those that are bruised and battered and torn in our lives and in our ministries. But the only way we can do that is through the presence and the power of God that is represented through His Spirit. We need men. And it's going to start with us men in our homes. When we get up every day, we say, I'm not going to be filled with those rotten fleshly desires. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. The first thing I'm going to do is show love. If anybody's up in my house, I'm going to show them love the first thing I do. I'm going to represent joy. I'm not going to get up and be like, oh my word, I'm dying this morning. No. Don't succumb to that flesh. We as men are supposed to be the examples.
And if we're filled with that Spirit, we're going to exude all those fruits that He talked about in our homes. And then it's going to spill over at work. Amen? As you try to help people, your life is going to be a ministry to them. Your life is going to speak help and peace. They're going to be coming to you and say, "Hey man, you've always got this joy hanging around. What is going on with you?" You're going to be able to help them. But we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We have got to put away. You cannot mingle the flesh. The problem in our culture today is this, and I'll be done. Is they're trying through psychology, and I'm not kidding you, I can show you proof. Churches today that are building these big, huge facilities and bringing, and I'm not against big ministry, but I'm telling you, they're studying psychology and marketing and all these things, and it's a way to draw people in through entertainment and all this other stuff. That is not what the Spirit of God. I'm not against a big ministry. Do not get me wrong. I am not against a big ministry that is doing what God would have them to do under the power of the Spirit of God. But I am against people that all they're wanting to do is entertain people and lead them to a devil's hell. Never hear the word of needing Jesus as your Savior. Never preaching hell as hot as it needs to be preached. What I'm trying to say, church, is we need the Spirit of God in our lives, and anything that's hindering you from having fullness of the Spirit, I would ask you this morning, if you're a dad especially, get whatever it is out of your life. Let the Spirit of God take over that part and watch God work in your life. When you pray, don't pray, "Lord, help so-and-so." No. "Lord, how can I help so-and-so with the need they have?" And start seeing God answer prayer through you. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand, if you would, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed as Lydia plays through a song. If you're here this morning and you're lost, let me tell you something. We are not here to embarrass anybody. We're here to lead you to Christ. You may say, "Well, I've done some bad things." It doesn't matter. That's why He died. Because He knew you couldn't pay for it. He died because He knew who we were. When He gave those last words on the cross and said, "It is finished," that was a legal terminology basically stating that He had paid for every sin that had ever been committed and that ever would be committed. And you can't commit a sin today that He didn't cover. So if you're standing here and saying, "Well, I'm too bad." No, you're not too bad. He loves you. And I would ask you, if you died tonight, if you were in an accident on the way home from here, can you say for a surety in your heart that you know that you would open your eyes and see Jesus? Do you know that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning? You've accepted the gift of His blood on that old rugged cross. Let me tell you something, I wouldn't gamble with eternity for one second. We have people all over this building that would love to show you how to be saved by the grace of God. There's nothing embarrassing about it. It's just another victory. And I pray that you would come. Those of us who are saved and have been born again,
Maybe some of you have been in that battle stronger than ever with your flesh. Let me encourage you this morning. Paul told him, he said, you can't do what you've been wanting to do because you're struggling so much with that old flesh. He said, crucify it. Nail it down. Because there's a work that needs to be done. You need to begin to see yourself as the only way some people are going to see Jesus in this world. You may be the only individual that ever tells somebody about Christ. You might think that's crazy in the world in which we live, but I'm telling you, I've met 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds that have never heard the true gospel of Jesus Christ in the United States of America. My prayer is that every man, every woman, and every child in this building have a desire to be filled with the Spirit of God every single day of their life. And that we could see so many people get saved, so many people have their eyes open to the truth, so many people that were bound can be freed. But I encourage you this morning, dads, don't be too proud to get with God. Get things straight. So you can be the man of your home that you need to be. So you can be that example.